You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Who was on this station in 2006?
Yeah! You know how long we've been on this
station?
Wasn't
that Gary Miller and DeMarco and...
that's right. Andrew Siciliano and Michael Thompson
at
some
point. Yeah, and Garvey and Company in the morning,
I think. Thompson and Trudell at some point. Yeah, we've had a lot of different turnovers. John, the truth is, I'm really excited about this lineup. This is the first time we've been able to do this much live and local on this station. I think it may be ever. I mean, we're live now. Travis and Sliwa are on at 9:55 every morning, and then we go all the way to 7 o'clock with Sedano and Cap, and of course the highlight of the day, 1 to 4, Mason and Ireland. But,
all right,
but we're
so
local all day long.
Apparently, even though they played the Sisters San Jose Sisters State something, you want to blow the horn of USC? Is right? Do I have this right?
No, actually, I don't want to blow the horn of USC.
Wait, they won 30-7. You're disappointed with 30-7?
There is no excuse for us being up 14-7 in the fourth quarter.
But they blew it open.
Yeah, no, they blew it open with a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, but a pick six, a great one.
Look, the Trojans led 13-7 going into the fourth quarter. I think Graham Harrell is the real problem. I think it's the offense that is the problem. He's just a mess as an offensive coordinator. The plays feel really random. There's no rhythm to what he's doing. Keaton Slovis is getting crushed out there. Where's a bootleg? Buy me a bootleg, for God's sake.
You want to bring Lane Kiffin back and do the bootlegs?
Well, wait a minute. Lane Kiffin is doing a hell of a job where he is right now.
Well, you can get him back if you want. He wouldn't turn down a return to USC. You want him back?
No, the reality is this team needs to get better. And I'm year of the clay. I still think this team, especially as bad as the Pac-12 is, Stanford they face this week. This is not the normal Stanford team. Stanford got beat by Kansas State handily over the weekend. You got to win this game, and you got to win every single game, including at Notre Dame, which is the one that looms in October.
But Notre Dame didn't look like world beaters against Florida State.
The schedule is breaking their way. I mean, who knows? It's a whole new world for UCLA. It's a whole new world. Apparently, UCLA is like the second coming right now.
Okay, well, they are. And, you know, I'm wondering, I want to ask your opinion of something. So Coach O is walking into the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And some guy is above the railing where they come into the tunnel. And he's yelling at Coach O. He's saying, hey, Coach, go UCLA, blah, blah, blah. And Taylor, play what Coach O said.
Well, can we do a little background?
Sure.
So Coach O, when he
was doing.
Coach O, when he was interim coach and ready for UCLA, said at a pep rally, come Saturday night, we're going to let those little boys from across town into our stadium, and we're going to lock the gates. USC lost that game. Now pick it up, because that gives it some context.
Well, and then so he was just walking in, and these guys were yelling at Coach O, and here's what Coach O yelled back.
Hey, bring your ass on. Bring your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt. Oh.
Well, he just said, I don't know why we beeped that. He said, bring your ass on and we'll those sissy blue shirts. So now UCLA has run with this.
Yeah.
Like they took the UCLA recruiting website, took that clip. Hey, why did you bring it out here? We're just going to beat you up in your sissy blue shirts, and then cut to a bunch of UCLA players dancing in the locker room. And now you can actually go to a UCLA fan website and buy a UCLA shirt that says, this is my sissy blue shirt.
It went further too, John. The UCLA football Twitter page made it their header. It said, check the header. And then it had the picture of the shirt with the Jumpman logo in the middle. It said sissy blue.
Right, because they have a new, they're out of their Under Armour deal, and they have a Team Jordan deal now.
Yeah.
So now, may smarter stupid to run towards the sissy blue shirt thing.
Oh, to run towards it.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about the word sissy. I hate the word sissy.
Well, I mean, but it couldn't. Why do you hate the word sissy?
I hate the word sissy because it's used to bully. It's normally used to bully. In this particular case, I understand the context. I think it's fine to run with it. I think it's fine to sell shirts like this. I think it's okay. I think Coach O has never been an in-control guy. He has never been a guy that is under control. He's raw emotion, and I think that's why their LSU program has kind of fallen apart around him. He doesn't have Joe Brady as offensive coordinator anymore. He doesn't have Joe Burrow. He had one miraculous run. But I think Coach O has never been under control. I cannot remember another coach who has ever yelled back at a fan while entering a stadium.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I've always liked Coach O. I'll tell you one thing he's got. He's got an NFL wide receiver playing for him now. That Boutte is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I'm not so sure that Zach Charbonnet isn't the guy that UCLA can – I mean, they're talking – people are talking about this guy getting Heisman votes.
Oh, for God's sake, talk about prisoner of the moment.
Well, he's played two games.
Right, he's ran for 100 and 117.
Right,
so he's got 217 yards rushing after two games, and one was against Hawaii.
But he hasn't carried the ball. I mean, he's averaging 13 yards a carry.
Well, you can't rack up yardage without carrying the ball. I love the overreaction. I love the it's a whole new world. I love the Charbonneau is going to win the Heisman Trophy. All this stuff is like crazy and fun and stupid. Crazy and fun and stupid. And, you know, honestly, that's the business we're in. We're in the business of crazy,
okay,
fun, and
so
stupid.
His actual stats are he has 223 yards and four touchdowns on just 17 carries.
Yes.
Here's a question. Why in the world didn't Jim Harbaugh play this guy? He was at Michigan for 2 years. Michigan's not good. Why?
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because they had three guys ahead of him on the depth chart. He wasn't going to get the playing time. They have guys that are better than him.
Well, wait a minute.
Charbonneau's
not even starting for UCLA.
Well, they do a 1-2 thing. They do a Lendale White, Reggie Bush thing where they basically split the carries.
Yeah, Brenton Brown is the starter for UCLA, and Charbonnet comes in afterwards. He ran basically in the second quarter and the fourth quarter for the most part.
And Charbonnet can catch. He had like a 40-yard. I mean, it just DTR, like Greg said earlier, is not like a classic drop back passer. He's not. We're not going to beat anybody with. Although he one time at Washington State, he had a 500-yard passing game.
Yeah,
but he's not going to do that a lot. So basically, what UCLA was doing was they were running those two running backs. They're sweeping them left, sweeping them left, sweeping them left. And then LSU overreacted every time they faked a ball left, and that tight end slanted to the right and was wide open for the rest of the game. You're worried about one thing, Mace. I don't know how excited to get because I don't know how good those two opponents were.
Right.
Hawaii, there's a chance Hawaii and LSU both stink. But the reason I'm excited is that regardless of who we played previous to this, Chip Kelly didn't beat anybody in non-conference. He was
0-6. Oh, no. I mean, from that perspective, this is the first time UCLA has started 2-0 since 2017. So I understand the excitement. What I don't believe in is it's a whole new world.
Yeah,
this
whole
is
new.
The breakthrough of all time.
Breakthrough. All time.
That Charbonneau's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Charbonneau for Heisman.
Yeah.
Championship or bust.
We're not overreacting here at all.
No, have you seen the Pac-12 North? They all stink.
They all stink.
USC or UCLA is going to the Rose Bowl.
Well, I mean, I hope they go further than that.
Well, where's the title? Well, when's the last time? I guess the last time any Pac-12 team was in, you know, when Chip Kelly was at Oregon, right?
Yeah. Was that Chip Kelly?
Yeah.
Might have been Chip Kelly, yeah. No, I mean, I look, anybody's got to run the table. If you run the table, I don't care what conference you're in.
Wait, you might be right.
If you're in a big conference.
Chip Kelly went once and lost to Auburn, and I think
Mario Cristobal went, didn't he?
No. Helfrich went with Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah, Mark Helfrich went.
Yeah.
I mean, look. It's tough for a Pac-12 team to get to the playoff, as we know. But we've never had a team actually run the table in the era of the college football playoff. I think if USC runs the table, they're going to the playoff.
Yeah,
I think if UCLA were to amazingly whole new world run the table, I think they got a chance to go to the playoff.
All right, there's a guy online, Bill in Brentwood,
okay,
who says he has a way to make the golf tournament on Friday more interesting.
That's what we need. Sure.
Bill, what do you got?
Look, I love the show, and I feel Mason's pain as he's been trying to get up to speed for the last 3 months, but I feel like he has no shot, even with 28 strokes.
Wait, it's 26 and strokes, and we're actually going to change it to
26 and a half.
25 and a half, so we can get a winner. We'll come up with a way to determine that.
So what's your idea, Bill?
What's your idea, Bill?
Okay, yeah. Here's my idea, and here's why I worried about those strokes, because if you're going to play metal, a couple of blow-up holes, he's dead. Here's what I suggest. Give him 3 strokes a hole and play match play, which means one of you wins or ties each of the 9 holes. And then he's got a real shot, because he has a couple of blow-up holes at 26 strokes. It's going to evaporate.
You know what, Bill? Here's the problem. I don't think I'm capable of winning a hole against John, because I'm only playing irons. I'm not going to take a wood out of the bag. My goal is to stay straight.
Bill, I don't hate your idea. We will put it under consideration. Because what we really want, Mace, is for there to be some drama.
Correct.
Like, if you take a 12 on the first hole,
it's over.
Half your strokes are gone.
Yeah, it's over.
So what Bill's suggestion is look, so on the first hole, let's say it's a par 4, that if I get a 4 and you get a 7, then we'd be tied, and we go to the second hole. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do. Yeah,
so
I get that.
I got a buddy of mine that's a golf that works at Titleist, who listens to the show all the time. Maybe I'll call him, and he said, you got to figure out a way to make it close. So,
I just can't believe you think I'm going to win.
Well, with that many strokes, I think you're going to win. I don't think you have any chance to beat me straight up.
But, oh, God, no.
But with that many strokes.
You know, let's throw that out there. Does anybody believe I can win this golf match with 21 strokes, 26 strokes?
Bergman is betting on you.
But I believe in you, Mace. I believe in you.
The average listener is going to say, no way, Mason. You've been playing the game for 3 months.
Right, so here's
John Ireland
we
was born at a golf course.
All right, so here's how we have it set up. It's 9 holes.
Yep.
And Mason is getting 25 and a half strokes. So,
25 and a half.
So if, like I said, Mace, if you shoot, if you get an 8 on every hole, which you won't, you would shoot 72.
Yeah.
And I would have to then shoot 46 to beat you. So, totally possible.
You have just not seen my game.
I that's true.
You have.
By the way, it really should be 26 and a half, because then that makes 26 still the number. If you go to 25 and a half, then 25 is the number.
Yeah, I think it should be.
The only reason we're making it a half, Greg, is so somebody wins. Well,
I understand that. But the 26, he still makes 26 the number that he has to get to.
But my argument is he has too many strokes already. Why give him another half stroke?
I just can't. 877-710-ESPN. Does anybody Does anybody in the world think I will win this match on Friday? Does anybody in the world think? I don't care how many strokes
I get. I'm betting $10,000 on you.
I'll need 40 strokes to actually be. My goal is to make it competitive.
Yeah, you would need 40 if we were playing 18.
And Bill in Brentwood is right. That's my danger. Like, I had an 8 on a par 3 on Saturday. I blew up on a par 3.
Okay, so think about this. If you have an 8 on every hole, you still have a chance to win.
You think you're going to shoot a 46?
I will shoot something between 40 and 46, yeah. Today, I was terrible. I shot 45 on the front, 46 on the back.
That's what I need. I need you
91.
To have a bad day.
Now, when I was in Idaho, I had a round where I shot 39 on the front and 42 on the back.
Damn.
For an 81.
Damn.
But see, if that happens, I got a shot.
All right. Does anybody in the world, 877-710-ESPN? Also, I want to give a shout out to Victor Oladipo. Have you heard this story?
No. What's he up? I like Victor Oladipo.
We will do it coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, Chris Morales, what are you going to do? He'll be out there on Friday for this match. mocking me, likely. He says I'm in my head, John. You know what? I'm having trouble. I'm having trouble visualizing good shots. Like,
okay, so a lot of people are online and they want to talk about this golf tournament. Let's go to Mike in Long Beach. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. So as far as Mason having a shot at this, he has absolutely zero chance at stroke play. You've got to do it, like that guy said, as a match play. It'd be like, John, if you went up against Phil Mickelson. You'd already think, like, I got no chance. And Mason's like, he's going to get so demoralized when he does shoot, like, a 14 on a hole. He's not going to even – he's going to be checked out. You got to do
okay.
That.
All right. So, Mike, that's a good point. We will consider match play. Here is Robert in Los Angeles. Robert, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, guys. So, each hole has a slope rating. If you're giving him 27 strokes on the hardest holes, he's going to get more strokes than on the easiest holes.
Right.
I don't know if that's how you're figuring it out, but it depends on the course, because a par 5 on my course could be a rating of Mason would get 2 strokes, and on your course it may be 4 strokes.
Right.
So giving
him
27 across the board, how do you divvy it up? It should be divvied up by the hardest hole.
Yep, that's a fair point. Okay, here's
this is, John. You've played this course. It's a really tough course, right?
It's not easy, but you can navigate it.
Okay, and this is the truth. I'm not making this up. I have never played on a full length 18 hole course.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that some type of match play is smart to keep it competitive. Here's Paul in the San Fernando Valley. Hey, Paul, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Okay, so the match play is cool, but Mason, like, there's two ways you got to go at it. If you're going to try to play like a real golfer and actually hit the ball and look right, then that's one way to play. But if you just want to beat John, then all you have to do is really kind of like play smart. You know what I mean? And on the long holes, for example, if you get into a sand trap, for example, don't use your wedge. You're horrible with it. So use a putter. The best tip is to use a putter in the bunker.
And use it like a ramp. Yeah.
And use it like a ramp.
Yeah.
So you got to have figure out which type of strategy you want to go with. You know, do you want to look like a golfer or do you just want to beat John? And if you
want
to just beat John, then you do that.
That's
and then
I
you
want.
Just basically shorten up on your swing and just play whatever iron it is that you hit best.
Right.
And just
right.
play with that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. By the way, the irons I hit best are 5 and 7. My
Which,
five,
it's,
I
it's
feel
not
good
easy.
About. My
that's
seven,
pretty good.
Good
it's
about.
Not easy to hit a 5 iron. Here's Devin in Santa Barbara. Hey, Devin, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, guys. I believe 100% that Mason can win this, but I've got one thing that he would need to do in order to do it.
What's that?
Get a hold of Cyber Vision with Al Geiberger. It's a video. There's no talking. There's no narration. It's just music and pictures of in a 360-degree camera angle of the same shot over and over that he makes. And I'll put this in terms that how it affected me and how I know it'll help him. I was a 18 handicap golfer, and someone said you should watch this video. I watched the video for a week, and there was a tournament coming up. The day of the tournament, I shot a 74. I'd never broken 80.
Nice.
I shot a 74. It was all, I attributed everything to watching that video, because you just feel it. And definitely, like the last caller said, just use your 7-iron. You don't need any other club on, even if it's long, just hit 7-iron.
Mace, thanks, Devin, for the call. Mace, you saw Tin Cup, right?
Yeah, sure.
You remember when Roy McIlvoy bets everybody that he can par a hole with a 7-iron, and he just hits he finishes the whole hole with a 7-iron? That's all you need.
So should I just play my 7?
Seven, you should bring a putter, too.
My teacher, Derek Allen from Rancho Park, he's embarrassed if I don't hit a driver. I'm like, Derek, I cannot hit a driver. I just cannot. I was hitting it yesterday. I'm spraying it everywhere. So I don't intend to take a wood out of the bag.
Okay. Here is Kenny in Torrance. Hey, Kenny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Kenny.
So, John, you and I are both UCLA graduates. I think we have some integrity. My comment is about a story you told a while back about how you single-handedly let or helped the UCLA basketball team, maybe it was.
Yes. No, so, okay, Kenny, I'll do a quick recap of that. So there were two starters. I'm not going to embarrass them by telling their name, but I'll just say they are names that everyone knew. Two starters on the UCLA basketball team who were sitting next to me in a sociology class, one on each side, and one of them leaned over and said, "Psst, Ireland, move your elbow." So he could see it was a multiple choice test, like A, B, C, D. And I moved my elbow so he could copy my answers and pass the class. Now, I declare that I was being a good teammate in that situation.
And I declare you have no integrity whatsoever.
Or even worse, you declare that I was openly cheating.
Openly cheating,
and you would throw me out of school for being a cheater.
You're part of it. You're
now,
part of the act.
Now, Kenny, what side of that argument are you on?
So my point is, if you guys are playing a golf tournament and you see Mason do a Judge Smales and he kicks the ball out from under a tree, and he doesn't call a penalty, and it's your job to protect the field.
Right.
Are you complicit in that? It seems kind of the same thing.
Well, here's the problem. The whole thing is going to be on social media. There will be video evidence if Mason does that.
Yeah, it's going to be on Instagram Live, so there's going to be little chance for me to use the foot wedge.
And so I don't think it's a fair thing to bring up, Kenny, but I don't think it's going to be in play because it's like all pro sports now. We have instant replay at the Mason and Ireland golf tournament.
Yep, everything's on video. Everything.
Thanks, Kenny. Here's Eddie in Ontario. Hey, Eddie, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, Eddie.
Eddie's got a bad connection, I think.
Lost Eddie.
All right, so let's go to Sarli in View Park. Hey, Sarli, are you there?
That's me. It's Farley.
Farley. Okay, sorry about that, man.
Yes, that's okay. I had two comments. One was I got to go with Ireland on Scherzer simply because the guy can go. He can close a game, nine innings, if, you know, he can do it. I haven't seen Buehler do that yet. But we know that he can go the distance or at least go 7-8 even.
Oh, God. I can't believe everybody will limit, is prisoner of a moment.
No, but it's not about the moment.
He made
this
it about his
what
whole.
He was doing
Farley's whole argument was about Scherzer. He didn't even say anything about
Buehler. My whole argument is 24 times and 27 starts this year. Walker Buehler has allowed three runs or less.
Right, but and Scherzer's ERA is one,
and he's won us game sevens. He's won us game fives. He won us game 163. I mean, Buehler is our big game guy.
All of which is true. All of which is true. However, I'm an old school guy. If you can limit the number of bullpen guys that you have to bring in, I would do that. Because the more bullpen guys you bring in, the more variables you're introducing. And I understand that this is a new analytic thing and they like to do that. But I think if you've got a guy that can go, if you've got a dog that can go eight innings, seven innings, then do it.
All right. Thanks, Farley, for the phone call. Mace, I think both of those guys could go deep into the game. I don't think there's a significant difference in that regard. But Greg sent me something that was interesting.
Okay.
Buehler's been so good all year.
Yep.
Including specifically against the Giants. I think it was the fifth or sixth time he's pitched against the Giants in the 19 games. And he's been great in every game. And on Sunday, he got lit up. You know that. Even though the Astros are the only team that Astros and Red Sox were the two teams that got caught, you know that people are stealing signs every game.
Sure.
Or they're noticing.
Or guys are tipping pitches.
Right. Or they're noticing tipping that Buehler's doing something before he throws his curveball. Do you think that was possible here? Or do you think he just had a bad day? There's just no explanation for how the guy could be that good all year. And in the biggest game of the year, lay an egg. Something happened, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there's a familiarity, right? So you've seen a guy throw six times.
I'm saying
you
it was more
his,
than that.
You
that
get used to his rhythms and his patterns.
I'm saying they knew what was coming.
I think it's possible that he was tipping his pitches. I think it's totally possible. I don't think that they're there's electronic cheating or anything like that. I tend to think the tipping the pitches thing is possible, or it's just he had a bad night. That's also possible. Are you suggesting that the Giants somehow cheated?
You're the one that thinks cheating is. I think they stole signs, which I don't think is necessarily cheating.
Look, I have no problem if you're dumb enough to allow your signs to be discoverable. If you're dumb enough to make them easy enough to figure out, that's on you.
Okay,
you're
so Dave
to steal signs.
Dave Roberts was asked the question that we're talking about. Do you think that somebody asked Roberts? Do you think Walker Buehler was tipping his pitches? Here's what Roberts said.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that they took some good at bats, and when it was soft, they stayed back. When it was hard, they got the head to it. So we'll dig in. But again, I just think that they had a good offensive day.
All right. When it was soft, they laid back. When it was hard, they got in. In other words, when they knew a breaking ball was coming, they didn't swing. When they knew a fastball, didn't Roberts just admit that somehow they knew what was coming?
Here's the thing. Okay, so just doing a little thought on this, and Greg, you can jump in too. Walker Buehler attacks the strike zone. He attacks the strike zone with hard stuff early and gets ahead and counts. What you saw with the Giants was they were attacking first pitch. They were hitting first pitch or second pitch. They were not allowing Walker Buehler to get into his regular rhythm. They were swing first. They attacked the strike zone the way Walker Buehler attacked the strike zone. I think that was what resulted in a bad night for Buehler.
I mean, that sounds about right, but also that Giant offense had been terrible, absolutely horrendous for the last week and a half, and couldn't get a hit. They had one hit. They had one run on Friday against the bullpen game, and then they couldn't do anything against Julio Urias on Saturday. So something was a little bit off there. So if they're actually all of a sudden laying back on the soft stuff and then going after the hard stuff, and even if they're attacking that first pitch, Walker Buehler is smart enough to change going after that, going with just straight hard stuff and attacking the strike zone. You would think that he would pitch a little bit outside at some of those points. So I don't know. It seems a little bit weird. I'm not going to say they were cheating, but they definitely saw something.
Don't you guys both think that Dave Roberts thinks they knew what was coming?
Absolutely.
By the way he spoke, it sounds like he thinks they had something.
Yep.
Had something. Hey, I want to remind everybody, lie of the day, and I will tell you it is 2:30 or so, and I have not told the lie. I'm going to do it because I want somebody to win the tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
So your chance to experience the first ever regular season NFL game at SoFi Stadium, Rams-Bears on Sunday night. See Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, all those guys at 3:30 today. If you can figure out my lie of the day, you can win. And by the way, you can still purchase tickets, rams.com/CHI.
By the way, I want you to tell that Victor Oladipo story that you said you were going to tell coming up.
And I want to tell you a story that Dave Singer told me that I think is one of the funniest stories I've heard.
From Dave Singer?
In a long time. Yeah, Dave Singer has a hilarious story. Yeah. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, put a poll out. How do you think Venice Mace will do against L.A. Ireland in our golf match on Friday? 9 holes, I'm getting 25.5 strokes. Here's how it goes. 43% say Ireland wins big. 30% say Ireland wins competitive. 7%, only 7% say Mason wins competitive. And 20% say Mace plant, full-on Mace plant. But so only 27% of the people think I can even keep it competitive.
But 30% said Ireland competitive, and that's really what you said is all you care about.
My
is
goal
being
is to just be so respectable.
Yeah, 57% think you will be.
Yeah, look, if I'm respectable, I will take it. So, all right, so I want to tell you this. Before I get to Victor Oladipo, I want to tell you the story. Dave Singer, our former producer, told me this weekend. We went out and played the par 3 at Rancho Park. So Singer was at a golf event with Ernie Banks. And Ernie said to him, Dave, can you go get my sandwich? And Dave goes to Ernie's bag and looks and can't find anything. And he goes back to Ernie Banks and says, Ernie, I can't find a sandwich. And Ernie says, I said sandwich.
That is very Dave Singer.
I said sandwich.
One of my favorite stories that you texted is when you were working on Tom Snyder's radio show, and Tom came back and he said to all you guys working in the back, including Dave, hey, guys, it's the holidays. I want to take you to the Grill. And the Grill is a very famous restaurant in Beverly Hills. It's hard to get into. You got to know somebody. And you said, well, geez, Tom, that's very nice of you. You just tell us when you want us to be there, and it'd be an honor. And Dave then says, the Daily Grill by the Beverly Center? I love that place. And the Daily Grill is basically a cafeteria. And Tom looked at you, and then he looks at Dave and just goes, idiot, and walks away.
That's 100% true. 100% true. All right, so, John, Victor Oladipo listened to Drake's new album over the weekend. Drake's new album is called Certified Lover Boy Album.
Okay.
He tweeted out hashtag CLB, Certified Lover Boy Album. Okay. Then he tweeted this. Tired of being single. So, the tweets poured in. At one point, they started calling him Alone Depot.
Oh, God.
And women.
I like that one.
Women start hitting him up. Now, is that at all a way to attract a spouse?
I've found personally that if you. And Mace, you've been on the air a long time too. If you make a public plea for companionship,
yeah,
it hardly ever works. Yeah.
Alone Depot.
But you know what's interesting about that story is so Victor Oladipo kind of puts his feelings out there.
Yeah.
And immediately social media attacks him and goes negative.
Although a lot of women are like, yeah, I'm all into Alone Depot.
Well, he's a good looking guy. And the other thing about Victor Oladipo, he can sing. Like, he's a really good singer. Like, Bergman, if you go on YouTube, he went on The Masked Singer and almost won the whole thing.
Oh, he's got a great voice. And really, he didn't ask for a spouse, Mace. He said he was tired of being alone.
Yeah, maybe he wants so, a, you know, hookup girl.
Right, that's all he was looking
for. A good time girl.
Yes, a good time girl.
All
right, Mace, I shouldn't be presumptuous. It could be a good time guy. I don't know what Victor likes.
So here's the truth. And it's always been weird the way I've always said that I met Juan at Casa del Mar in Santa Monica on New Year's Day.
Right.
And the truth is, Juan reached out to me on social media, and that's how we met.
Okay, after you met at the thing?
No, before we met at the thing.
All right, so he met you in a public space, like he knew about you from being on the air?
Right, and he reached out to me on social media. Okay. He hit me on
but
my
then,
DMs.
And then you guys met at Casa del Mar.
And then we met at Casa del Mar.
Right. So,
but there's no shit. You never know where you're going to meet the right person. Could be a bar, could be a club, could be Match.com, could be Bumble, whatever it is. I just don't think this necessarily is the right way for Alone Depot.
Well, you mentioned Match.com. That,
yes,
to me makes a lot more sense. Because at least in that case, you have common interests.
Right.
Like, I just got one of the people we went on vacation with. We went on vacation with a whole bunch of different couples to Idaho this past week. And my friend Jenny, who I met, who lived on my street like 20 years ago, was just a great catch. I mean, super smart, very successful you know, on her own with no husband, like attractive, just for whatever reason, never met the right guy. She went on Match.com, met a great guy, and she's been married to him now for 10 years.
There
and
you go.
They're both really happy. That, to me, makes more sense.
Yeah. Or it could be just somebody reaching out to you on social media. Alone Depot may very well not be alone anymore.
Okay. Coming up is this new thing we're doing, right?
Yeah, it's called Jump Ball.
Okay.
We don't do Radio Tinder anymore because Lindsay has now moved to the afternoon show. She'll be with Sedano and Cap this afternoon. Greg Bergman, we're stuck with. He's our producer now, he's going to do something called Jump Ball with us. By the way, are you happy about Greg being here?
I am. Yeah, I think we stole him.
I do too.
I think we would have to give up more.
Yeah, no, it was a straight up one for one.
Although I have a moral dilemma that I want to ask you guys about after Jump Ball.
Okay, that's coming up at 3. Next is Jump Ball, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, and this is where Greg Bergman fires some stuff at us, and we respond. Bergman, what do you got?
First of all, I love the NBA on NBC.
I do too.
Roundball Rock is the greatest.
John Tesh made that song.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is the newest Marvel movie to come out. And I have been hearing mixed reviews from my Marvel friends. I know, Mace, you said you loved it. Yeah, I've heard people say they don't like it. Yeah. Well, it is only in theaters and not at home like Black Widow was. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know when I'm going to, but I would have seen it already if it was at home. I know I would have already bought it. I would have watched it at home, no problem. John, I know you aren't a Marvel guy, so the question is, did Marvel screw up by making Shang-Chi an in-theater movie only?
Okay, so this, Mace, I'll go first because I think you have unique insight on this because you used to own movie theaters.
Yes.
Greg, I think it has more to do with there is a huge negotiation going on between studios and theater owners that if you would have continued to release every movie and you could just watch it in your house, it would have crippled the theater business. Like, I haven't been to a movie theater in over a year. Mace, I would imagine that had more to do with it than anything else, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I go to the movies twice a weekend, even, you know, during the pandemic. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is fantastic. And by the way, all-time biggest opening in the history of movies for a Labor Day weekend. It did $75 million this weekend. It shattered the all-time record. So it absolutely worked. I would really prefer that studios allow movies to have some run in theaters before they make them available at home. Otherwise, they're going to kill theaters. But I strongly recommend Shang-Chi.
Would 2 weeks be enough? Two-week theater release, I mean, it used to be 3 months, right?
Yeah, it used to be 3 months. There was a long time. I think it's going to wind up being, only because I heard specifically, it may be 42 days. 42
so a little
days
more
exclusively
than a month.
In theaters, yeah. And then it goes. But Shang-Chi's fantastic, Bergman. I don't know who's telling you otherwise. And Shang-Chi is going to be part of the Marvel Universe now. I mean, he's already set up to participate in the next whatever big one they do.
Yeah, Avengers 5. Yeah, look, I'm excited to see it. I just don't know when I'm going to make it to a theater to see it. I would watch every movie at home if it came out. Anytime it's on HBO, I watch it.
Greg, so would I, and I have watched basically every good movie in the last year at home, and I love the convenience of it. But would you be willing to watch every movie at home if you knew it would end the theater business as you know it?
Because I don't want to end the business.
Well, that's the trade-off. You will.
It all happens eventually.
No. I disagree. We have to collectively make a decision. We're either going to go back to movie. I mean, guys like Mason are always going to go back because they, I mean, it's in his blood.
Right.
But it's the guys like me and you, Greg, that are going to make or break the theater business. And I really don't want to see a world where you can't go out on a night and go to the movies. So I'm willing to get back into the theaters if it saves the theater business. Mike Mace, are those theaters that are next to our studios at LA Live, did they survive?
I believe they are still open. But, you know, we lost all the arc lights we lost.
I just saw one right around the corner from my house.
Including the Cinerama Dome. And it's this has been really, really hard on theaters. I'm trying to get out there and support my local. There you go. Thank you.
All right, on to the next one.
I like that shot clock thing. That's good.
Yeah. All right, UCLA basketball is known for only hanging championship banners. They don't celebrate Final Fours or below. It's just how it is. USC football is the same way. They celebrate championships. This is what the big schools do. Well, last week, USC Athletic Director Mike Bone had Elite Eight rings given to every one of the USC basketball players to celebrate their magical run. Mason, how do you feel about Elite Eight rings?
I'm totally fine with it. You know, generally speaking, I think participation trophies are okay, too, for little kids. I think you should build self-esteem with little kids. And in this particular case, the fact that USC basketball made it to the Elite Eight is a frigging miracle. And I think it should be celebrated. Has USC ever gone to the Final Four? I don't think they have.
So.
Yeah, I mean, and rarely have they been in the Elite Eight. I absolutely have no problem with this whatsoever.
Greg,
by the way, if it was football, I'd say no.
I'll speak for my USC friends because I spent some time with some this past week. They don't like that Mike Bone has lowered the standard of excellence at SC. For example, USC used to be one of those schools where you win or you get fired, especially in football. And the fact that Clay Helton, and Mason and I both like Clay, the fact that Clay Helton had a losing season, had a 4-7 season, and they kept him, soured a lot of USC fans. Soured fans because they liked USC having a high standard of excellence, and Mike Bone hasn't lived up to that. So I think it's a problem.
It is. And Taylor, you said that USC did go to the Final Four. I wanted to. Taylor had some. What was it? What year did USC go to the Final Four?
1940 and 1954.
Oh, those are the glory days.
Those are. Yeah, if we weren't born, they don't count.
Days. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, Michael K. Williams passed away yesterday, and
yeah. It
was very, very sad. This guy was just an incredible actor, and from the stories that I've read, he was an incredible person too. He was unapologetic in his acting and stole every scene on every show that he was in. To me personally, his character Omar in The Wire is a top three actor in a television show, period.
Yep.
But as for HBO shows, it's Omar on The Wire. The other two in no order were Tony Soprano of The Sopranos and Selena Meyer of Veep. Who are your top three HBO television actors or actresses, John? You can start.
Number one is Larry David. I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is the funniest half-hour comedy ever. I think it's Seinfeld on steroids. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Curb by myself and fallen over laughing. Number two, I don't know which actor I would pick. It would probably be Peter Dinklage, but you got to put somebody from Game of Thrones on that list. Might be Emilia Clarke, who played Khaleesi. I think Dinklage is the guy, Mace, who came the closest to stealing every scene he was in.
I agree on that, yeah.
So he would be number two. And I don't know if this counts, but I thought it was an exceptional character. Danny McBride as Kenny Powers on Eastbound and Down was a show-stopping success for me. So those are the three that popped into my head. How about you, Mace?
So Peter Dinklage is just outside my top three. My top three go Larry David. I don't think you can start the list without Larry David. Number two, Selena Myers.
That's
the best. Selena Meyer. Of course, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And the third one is actually my favorite arc on The Sopranos is Christopher Molisanti. So I would put
Michael
Christopher
Imperioli.
Molisanti there. Michael Imperioli, who I think was just a great character. Ended badly for him, but a great character. Peter Dinklage, really close. Omar, really close. There are definitely so many characters that HBO has created, but those would be my three. What about you, Greg?
Oh, yeah, Greg, go ahead, and then I got something
to tell you. Oh, I gave mine. It was Tony Soprano, Selena Meyer, and Omar.
Okay, good.
By the way, Michael K. Williams, who played Omar, do you guys know what was unique about Omar on The Wire? It's why he was Barack Obama's favorite character. Omar was feared. You know, he walked around with that sawed-off shotgun.
Sure.
He ruled every scene he was in. He is the only regular character on The Wire, all five seasons, who never, ever said a four-letter word.
Wow.
Michael Williams just didn't want to play the character that way.
Oh, that's
weird. And so he's the one that, you know, he was, and, you
he
know.
Didn't work blue.
No. and he was a gay assassin hood.
Yep.
And you rooted for him somehow.
Yeah, fascinating character.
Right? I saw LZ post something today that said they asked the showrunner why they made Omar gay, and he said, "Why did I make all the other ones straight?"
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Yeah,
David Simon. Why are there so many straight people on that show? That's what I say.
Hey, Greg, is that it for Jump Ball? Do you have one more?
I got one more.
All right, go for it.
All right, Ted Lasso has done wonders for the sports world and just basically in general.
Football
is life. And now
Danny Rojas.
And now players are even quoting the show after games. A's pitcher Cole Irvin had a really bad outing on Sunday. 7 runs in 2 1/3 innings.
Be a goldfish.
Pretty bad. Oh, see, you're ruining it. And in the post-game presser, said to move on, he will be like a goldfish, have a 10-second memory. This is a direct quote from Ted Lasso, which is incredible. Do you guys use any quotes from TV shows or movies in your everyday lingo, Mason?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, Greg, that my wife, who was the captain of our tennis team when they went to sectionals, put little plastic goldfish in the backpacks of all the women on the team and got a big inflatable goldfish because she said, look, these teams we're playing are really good. If you get boat raced, have a memory like a goldfish. And they made it all the way to the finals.
Wow.
So that goldfish thing works.
Yeah, I quote, you know, the movie I quote the most is Anchorman. There's so many great lines in Anchorman. You know, I'm kind of a big deal. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? It's so damn hot. I'm trapped in a glass box of my emotion. I mean, there are so many great lines from Anchorman, so I do quote those a lot. Greg Bergman, by the way, hates Anchorman, John.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of Anchorman.
I only know one other person on the planet that didn't like Anchorman. Greg, that's not a good club to be in.
Jorge Briones does not like it either.
Yeah, you guys are dopes.
By the way, you know what we found out while you were gone, John? Jorge Briones, a 49ers fan.
That might be a game changer for me.
It is a game changer for me. It really is.
Jorge's really good at his job. I don't know if we can have a Niners fan, especially during the football season.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to be some serious rivalry. All right, what do you got coming up, John?
Well, no, I just wanted to mention before we broke for the top of the hour, Mace, I don't know if you saw this, but I want to do a hail fellow well met. Sam Cunningham just died.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam used to come in on our show all the time. He was an incredibly nice man.
Great guy.
There's an HBO documentary on this. Sam is credited for basically breaking the color barrier in the South. John McKay and Bear Bryant were friends, and Bryant wanted to bring black players into Alabama. And because it was in the heart of the South in the 60s, Alabama wouldn't accept it. And Bear Bryant knew that if he didn't get black players in, he wouldn't be competitive. So he convinced John McKay to bring USC to Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
And Sam Cunningham ran all over him. And so Sam would come on our show because he was a great Trojan, and we had the Trojan games for years. Could not be a nicer guy.
Yeah, really good guy.
And Sam passed away today, so a hearty hail fellow
well met.
Sam Cunningham and his family. We're going to miss him. He was 71. He's also scored 4 touchdowns, Mace, in the 73 Rose Bowl. So and just an incredibly nice guy. So we hail fellow well met to Sam Cunningham.
All right, good. Coming up next, the Dodgers have released their starting lineup for tonight, and there's somebody in it who is boggling my mind.
Really?
Do you know who it is?
No.
I will tell you. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.